I'm Maria Menounos, and you're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
What's up, heroes? Welcome to the My Hero Academia After Show. We're talking episode 23, Let It Flow. Sorry, I had to. School Festival. If you didn't catch last week's episode and this format is new to you, we are practicing our social distancing and doing the show remotely, but the team is all here. All pro heroes are present. So let's go around and say your name and what you thought of the episode. Let's start, Jamie.
What's up, guys? From my home. Okay, so this episode was super cute. We finally get class 1A. And we also saw the other performance from the other class as well. But I loved seeing Jiro perform. And I just loved seeing Eri smile, all that good stuff. And I know we'll get into more of that. But yeah.
Ollie.
Oh my gosh. I completely agree with Jamie. I'm Ollie Drennan, sorry.
Who are you?
Honestly, arguably, this was probably my favorite episode of the season. Like, I legit cried watching the performance and what it meant and just how everyone reacted to it. Let me tell you about Jiro. She's an icon. She's a legend. And she is the moment. I mean, come on now. It was amazing, guys. And it was beautiful. We've got to see my girl Nejire slay. And obviously, I agree, Jamie. Eri smiled, and just seeing the characters like try to fight back their tears as I was doing while watching this episode, hands down my favorite episode of this season. It was so good. So good.
Nice. Veronica.
Yeah, I mean, I share similar sentiments as basically everyone. Hey, everyone, Veronica Lindsay here. This episode was so good. It probably definitely was my favorite episode of season four, just because, you know, obviously we love the fact that My Hero is such a good balance of character development, action, and these fun moments, but this season has been so action-centric, especially in the beginning half of the episode. I'm happy that we just kind of got to experience fun. We got to experience the characters having fun and just, you know, living like normal kids for once after such a crazy year. And it was just so emotional, just the song, the smiles, just everyone just having the time of their lives. It was such a great episode.
Uh-huh. Second, third, and fourth, all of those. I thought it was so fun. And it was nice to have our kids be kids. I also got emotional during the show performance, and Miria's like gonna cry. I'm like, don't. I want to cry too, but like, because you're just like, oh, they needed this. It's you know what it is? It's just that, oh, finally we can breathe, that we've been waiting for this and we finally get it. We do have a live chat going. Welcome everybody who's joining us live and in the live chat. Yay. Keep chiming in. If you're watching later, comment down below. I know we all got a bit more time maybe lately to watch anime and talk about anime. So the other thing too, I really liked, what do we all think? Like, so at the beginning, we get Gentle, he turns himself in, which was nice. And then, oh no, I just brainwashed an innocent girl.
I mean, I feel like he was doing anything and everything to just get the heat off of La Brava. And I don't know, it was hard. It's kind of hard to watch because I still don't really know where they're going from here. I feel like even Deku was kind of trying his best to kind of lessen the heat off of them. So it was just a lot to kind of like take in, because I don't know what's going to happen to La Brava necessarily, because she is just completely in love with him and he's probably going to get locked up at some point. So it was just a really interesting kind of scene to digest, because you don't want to see them negatively impacted by any means, neither of the two characters, or at least I don't, because I really actually like those characters.
Yeah, I think that this whole encounter kind of made me respect Gentle, just because, like, as we said throughout, you know, learning about these characters, they're not malicious, they're not like every other villain that we've seen, and the fact that, you know, throughout their entire partnership, Gentle was obviously very selfish, just trying to gain his goals, and, like, you know, just having La Brava come to the side, he kind of, like, took her caring nature and, like, her support for for granted sometimes. And I can respect that this was the instance where he realized, I can't be selfish anymore. I need to protect La Brava because she is innocent. This was my greed coming to play. And yeah, I respect him for basically just trying as much as he can to protect her in that moment, as well as Midoriya realizing that these two criminals are not like all the other criminals, and this very well could have been me had I not gone down the path that I did. So just a lot of, you know, kind of respect for these characters taking the higher ground in that scene.
Yeah.
Jamie. I pretty much agree. You know, it's like, you could just tell everyone was torn between the two. And I love how Deku recognizes, like, they're not much different from me at all. And so it makes me wonder, because, like, when La Brava was being interrogated, and maybe this could be predictions, but I'm just wondering, like, what path she's going to go down and, like, what lengths she'll go to be with Gentle. So, yeah.
Yeah, because they even asked, I like that you brought that up, because they even asked her, you could use this, your abilities, your hacking for good, and she declined. She didn't want to go down that road. She just literally will do anything and everything just to be associated with Gentle, because she loves him. You know, and it really sucks because her quirk is linked to love, and obviously he's the only one that she loves. Or if you love yourself, maybe that.
I know, she like really I'm loves in love with me.
I almost thought they would say, we will lessen his sentence if him, like, okay, he'll get a shorter sentence. Pearson Pham says, the relationship is a little weird, in my opinion. Stephen B says, I don't think it's toxic. What do you all think?
I mean, I always thought it was kind of creepy at first, but I think like a couple episodes back, we just kind of realized like she is older than we thought. So that kind of, for me, erased the kind of pedophilia that I thought it was. And then, I don't know. I mean, I could see it as toxic, I guess, because they're codependent? They're codependent on each other?
Yeah.
Necessarily say toxic, but I do agree with you, Jamie, in that they are definitely codependent on each other, and they need to kind of learn to live outside of each other as well. Mm-hmm. And I think that whatever ends up happening to them after this encounter is definitely going to help them grow in that aspect, at least I hope. But I don't know, the relationship might be a little odd because they were just so dependent on each other, but I wouldn't necessarily say it was toxic.
Yeah.
Holly.
No, I agree. I don't think it's toxic because La Brava was the one who found him in the first place. And there's no abuse. There's no mental or physical abuse. And she's so willing, and, you know, he's willing to accept her for who she is. And she helped him, and he helped her. So they literally supported each other. So I agree that I don't see it as being toxic. I think it's more so like they need to grow into their own characters and not be like an actual item. I mean, yeah, be a duo and be partners and whatnot, but I feel like they would be like the type to have like a joint Facebook account, you know, like a joint Instagram. That's right. That's where I'm drawing the line, you know? So I'm interested in seeing them kind of potentially grow. I still want them to be together, but I want them to kind of still be seen as individuals.
Yeah. I think I wouldn't say it's toxic because I agree, because she did seek him out. Couple interesting other things from the chat. That Please Clap says, I think it's unhealthy, but it was kind of needed for La Brava in that moment. And also goes on to Marcus Richie Plastic, and it works. It's like it weirdly works out well together. But I do think going forward, she needs to be able to survive without him, not forget about him, but be able to go on with her life and not have him be so dominant in her life.
Right.
Yeah.
I agree.
She's still young.
Yeah. Pretty young. Which actually, speaking of support, it was mentioned earlier, but I did want to say also that I thought it was great how Deku actually covers for Gentle. He goes, yeah, we just had a little argument. It's fine. I was like, okay, go back. Like, that was the smart thing to do in this situation. He said, like, it was a villain, they'd shut the festival down.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then Deku also realizes and he says out loud, which we talked about last week, is how he is so similar to Gentle, and that could have been a path that Deku could have gone down. So they're not so different. Also, did anybody like that nobody was really seriously worried about Deku before the event? Like, they all kind of are like, oh, where is he? Where is he? But no one's going, Oh, wait. Villains. They're always around.
I don't know. I feel like Midoriya at this point just gets himself into such compromising situations that he always ends up missing, and it's like, oh, Midoriya, oh, it's just Midoriya, oh, he goes missing, oh, you know, it's no issue, it always happens.
Plus they're probably just so focused on the festival too.
That's
like, yeah, you know,
which semi later but kind of tied into that moment. I like how Hound Dog, when he's talking to Deku at some point, is like, please tell us, if it is a fight, we want to help you. That's like what we're here for. So I appreciated the adult saying, not necessarily you were wrong to fight, but we're here to support that. So call on us next time. So did you guys appreciate that, you know, because sometimes it's just the older person generally scolds the younger person, like, you got in a fight, rah, 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 compared to, I want to help you. Like, please tell me so I can help you next time.
Yeah, I feel like he was kind of dramatic, but I got what he was saying.
Yeah.
I was like, all right.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it's great that obviously UA has such a great support system in their heroes and their staff that they want to help out as best as they can. But I think, as we had already kind of mentioned, that so much was riding on this, so many people's happiness and hard work depended on the school festival happening, that Deku would try anything to not compromise that. And obviously by going forward and getting assistance and saying, hey, these villains were trying to sneak into UA, you know, they would obviously have to do what they need to do in order to handle the situation that would in turn cause the festival to not happen, which would just ruin everybody.
Right.
Well, I was gonna say, speaking of, the next big thing that happens is Showtime. On a scale of 1 to 10, how satisfied are we with how their production turned out?
Beyond plus ultra.
There we go.
Please leave a comment down below. What did you think of the actual performance? Because, you know, in some anime, when they lead up to the best song or the best whatever, and you see it and you're like, it's okay. Or they don't even show it at all. So I'm glad we actually got a performance.
Mm-hmm. No, it was really good.
Yeah. And you know what, like, with certain dubs, I like, well, because like this was clearly subbed, but I like when you hear beautiful, whoever sang her song, I thought the performance, the laser beams, it was just beautiful. Yeah.
The singer for Jiro for that song is Chrissy Costanza.
Chrissy.
Yeah. And like, she's been around, guys. Like, she was a YouTube personality. She would do like covers of hit songs with Sam Sui and like Kurt Hugo Schneider. So when I saw her name, I was like, oh my gosh, like, dream come true, really.
Wow. Agreed.
Oh my God, sorry. I'm just looking at the chats. Dragon Video said, I cringed when Mineta came into the scene.
He always has to ruin things.
Side eye.
It was so, I know, side eyed, right? It's like that one member in the band that you just don't like, or is like your least favorite. You're just like, ugh. But the song was so good. I just didn't want it to end, the performance. It was beautiful. I want that song. Like, I want the actual, give me the link. I want to download Apple. It. I want it on my iTunes, my Spotify. If anyone has any info where I can get the actual song, because I loved it.
I'll find
it
for you, Ollie.
I literally, yeah, please. I teared up, though, at the backstory, which we'll talk about, with Jiro coming out to her parents about her wanting to be a hero, not a musician. And I was crying. But also, I was like, oh, man, like, I wish we got this sooner or something, because I wanted to listen to the dang song. It was getting into, like, the interlude or something. But it was beautiful. And I love that Jiro just got to rock out with all our classmates. I am upset that they're no longer going on tour due to coronavirus. I got my tickets ready, guys, but obviously we want to be safe in quarantine and lockdown, but hopefully they can come back for their tour dates.
Yeah.
But yeah, I am a hardcore. Their name was like A-Band or something. A-Band.
Yeah,
it
was so cute.
So cute.
Go ahead, Veronica.
I was just going to say, I have two things in regards to this performance. So the first thing that was on my mind, actually, Marcus Ritchie brought up in the chat, is saying this was satisfying because in the manga, parts of the chapter weren't fully drawn yet. And this was something I was curious about, because if this was an anime from a couple of years ago, we would watch and be like, oh, is this filler? Because, you know, it kind of takes a step away from, I guess, like the main storyline. So I was wondering, oh, is this considered filler? But I'm happy to see that it wasn't, that this was actually part of the ongoing story. And then second, yeah, just, I agree with Ollie. This performance was beautiful. Just the visuals that we got to see, the music really made it super emotional. Like, I was tearing up because it was really something to watch. Obviously, Aerie smiling and, you know, Mirio being so excited that Aerie is finally getting to live the life of a normal young girl, getting to experience all this fun and excitement that she never got to experience. And it was just it was so good. I just, again, favorite episode. Like, I want to relive it.
I know, right? And also, it must be mean so much to, like, fans of the manga who've read this, obviously, before seeing the actual anime, because it didn't exist, because you actually get to see the scenes animated, and, like I don't read the manga, but I can only imagine what it means to those fans of the manga who get to see these finally animated, and also, like, fight scenes that happen in this season, so it just probably means it's even more special for them. So I need to read the manga now, because guys are making me so excited.
Yeah,
I will say, like, when I was watching the scene with Mirio and Aerie, I was holding it together, but until when he said, like, Deku, do you see this? And he made that face, I was like, why? And then that's when I did it. And I was like, see, they did that on purpose. So I held it together for the most part, but that was it. That's what did it.
I was kind of wondering this. Ace Trainer says, in case you were wondering, Momo is getting her name cheered because of the beauty commercial back in season 2.
Oh yeah. She was getting cheered. She's probably super popular, but I love it because she's so humble about it. You know, like, she's not like, oh yes. Like,
Yeah, no, she's like, yeah, great. Momo. Jared in the chat says, back to Gentle, they both fought their hardest when it was for someone else, and then during the dance, love that Ida's entire routine was doing the robot. I did notice that too.
I will say, some of those guys could not dance, just saying.
They tried their hardest, Ollie.
A for effort, A for effort. But Mina was the hands down the main dancer for sure. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Class 1A
for break, because everyone got their moment to shine. Everybody did something impressive show. So they definitely plus ultra 10 out of 10 amazing performance.
One more thing I do want to say about this performance is just about the song. Like, I don't know about you guys, but obviously this episode came out yesterday, so we're in the year 2020, but something about that scene made me feel super nostalgic. And I don't know if it's just nostalgic. It had that sound that was very reminiscent of that time, kind of like that simpler time, I guess, like for a lot of us. Mm-hmm. So that was another reason that added to the emotion, is because I just really got those sentiments of nostalgia, even though this isn't something that came from my childhood.
Right. No, I think piggybacking off of that, I agree, especially in the time that we're in. Obviously, we're like locked indoors, and nostalgia is something that's very important for a lot of people right now, because we're stuck in our houses unless we're still have to work, you know. Shout out to all the amazing hardworking people out there that have to, because they have money, or they need money. But yeah, even when Jiro in the past episode she was like asked to sing for the first time, when she sang in English, and if someone in the chat during that episode brought up, because there's something about like the English language that is kind of like universal, like a lot of people are like, I don't know, I don't really know the linguistics of it all, but yeah, it's also makes it more emotional for like American fans, because we know we can understand it.
It reminded me of the nostalgia, because I remember, like, just for me, like, just when I hear any type of English in any type of anime, for this, it reminded me of this scene in Digimon season 1, which they do have on Hulu if you get the stars plugin. So I tried to watch it, because we missed Digimon because of this stupid coronavirus. Yeah, we all missed it. Sorry, I decided a little bit. But that's what it reminded me of. And if you guys want to watch it, it's on Hulu, get the stars add-on. But yeah, and it was when Mimi from season 1 with the cowboy hat.
Yes!
And
that,
I had the mic. And it was when they were like, anyway, look at it on YouTube. That's the radio. of, and it was just so nostalgic. So yes, it was a great feeling.
Digimon had the best music. Side note,
it did.
Back to my hero, but Digimon had like some of the best music,
hands down.
Yeah, oh, everybody, and this was Bob in the chat. Jared asked, also, did anyone notice that the invisible girl was glowing? I did notice that. She kind of had a, I'm like, what's that about? That's so cool.
Plus Ultra. She did that in that London, like cool. Last season. She did like light refraction. Remember during like the, she did it. She did it before. But yeah, I was like, yes, go girl.
Pretty too. I'm like, oh, what is that? But that makes sense. So we brought it up. So let's get into it. Yeah, we get Jiro's backstory, which we've all been like, what's the deal? Why is this so personal for her to be emotional and thinking? And we're just like, oh, okay. Like, what is it? And then we get that moment. And how incredible is it that she had these parents that are so accepting and supportive? I was crying too. I was like, oh, sweetie.
That was just so amazing to see, because in anime a lot of the times parents are absent, and I think that a lot of the time is meant to put the focus more on the young adults that the story is portraying. But I love the fact that My Hero does feature parents, and all of them are very supportive. And I love seeing Jiro's parents fully accepting whatever she wanted to do and basically just telling her, find a way to help people, whether that's through music or through being a hero. And I was just like, oh my gosh, I'm crying.
Yeah, no, I agree, because also I think growing up we look at our parents for the most part, or whoever your parent, whether that's your mom, dad, or if you have like parental figures, whatever, you kind of look to that parental figure as a hero in a sense, you know, like, so of course she doesn't want to disappoint her family because they are musicians and they're teaching her all these amazing things with all these different instruments, because I think she plays like almost every single instrument. But yeah, yeah, it was very touching, and just seeing how accepting they were of her choices. And that is just a really relatable thing. We don't want to disappoint our parental figures. We don't want them to disown us or be upset with us. We want to make them proud, just like they make us proud, you know, being there and raising us. So it was so touching. And that's when the tears just were everywhere. Right?
Because,
Go ahead.
No, go ahead, Jamie.
I was going to say, with Jiro and her parents, just to piggyback off what Ollie said, like, it was just really beautiful to see that she was able to open up with them, because they are still very young, whereas some people take them a while. So I love that we could kind of see her character and her personality. But what I really liked is that, you know, we knew her first as a hero in training. And so then we found out more about her musical talents. I like that, you know, it's like she didn't want to neglect music either. And for a minute she did. And I think that it shows, you know, don't let go of what you truly love too. You can have everything you want. It might take some time, you know, but I like that it shows that she went back to what she also loves, which is music. And she did both of them because she was trying to decide between the two. And I think, you know, you can do what you love and other things as well.
Oh yeah. Her parents, all children want acceptance from their parents, regardless of kind of the situations. In some form, you know, we all want to be accepted. So that she has an environment where she could say, I'm sorry, I'm changing where I thought you wanted me to go. And they're like, no, you do what's true to your heart. It's like, oh, it's like the perfect parents. They get the gold star. I'm like, oh, we all wish we could have that kind of moment. And not to say anybody's parents are like, you know, better or worse or whatever, but like, this feels like an idealistic situation.
Or even just like family in general, whatever your family is, whether you're related to them or not, you just want to accept you and be tolerable and just love you regardless of your life's decisions. And I also think, I was going to say something else, but I completely forgot as I'm talking right now. Yeah. Also, no, like Jiro, I was going to say Jiro is like in the best position possible, because I mean, being a hero, you're helping people, but also musicians, singers, rappers, like right now, especially in the time that we're in right now, like, we look to them for, like, because music is so inspiring and it helps us get through things and it's uplifting and it's relatable, and that's something that like we're doing a lot of right now these days, like whoever you're into music wise like it's inspiring, it really influences your life. And yeah, just she has it all right now, you know. She's a hero as a musician and she's a hero as in UA.
Music therapy,
each performance continues to grow using her musical talents and incorporating those into her hero quirk abilities. So it feels like that's kind of guiding that. And it's like, oh, she's blossoming and, you know, exploring her powers and her talents. And we're like, yes, it's great. Keep going. We're just so happy for her.
Yeah.
Also, what do we think of the play?
I actually want to see more of it.
It was the most jumbled mess of brilliance I've ever seen in my life. We had Romeo and Juliet. We had Harry Potter. At one instance, I think we had Star Wars.
Yeah.
I wanted them to keep going.
I wanted more. It just makes me want, and it just obviously makes me want to see more of Class B.
Yeah. Well, it's nice because afterwards, some of the other students were talking and they even say, oh, it was a mess, but it was great. So I think that was, so there.
I love seeing like the bond that A and B kind of had too with Kirishima and Tetsu when they kind of just like, yeah, elbows, or they did something. And it was cute because it just goes to show that even though they are kind of like rivals, they can still make some of them. Can maintain like a friendship, you know, a friendly rivalry.
It's nice that everything went, it's one of those, it went as perfectly possible. The performance was great. Everybody enjoyed it. The other class was complimenting 1A, like, oh, thank you. And that was great. And the ones who showed up to criticize, apologize, like, I'm sorry, we came in to criticize you, but it was a good show. Okay, bye. And they're like, we won.
Pretty much.
Yeah, after that performance, you just couldn't really beat it.
It was one of a kind, for sure.
Was it? It's just so cute. But then this was a good example of how how Mineta was using just a small sprinkle of doses. I'm like, okay, this is fine. So he's a little bit weird on stage. And then they go, hey, why are you rushing? Because we want good things for the beauty. Like, hey, that's a pretty funny transition, though. Okay, I'll take it. So what do we all think of the beauty pageant?
It was, you know what? Good for them. I love the fact that, you know, Kendo and Nejire were able to showcase their talents. I like that, you know, they had an audience and everyone cheering them on. Once again, I liked how Aerie got to see, kind of got to experience an entire festival and everything it offers and just really had a great day. And honestly, I think I ship Tanaki and Nejiro now.
Mm.
Oh. So cute.
There are some subtle hints. There were some subtle hints for sure. No, that's a good thing. I didn't think about that until you really, I'm like, oh yeah, they were kind of hinting something, but
Well, you're cheering her on, yeah?
Yeah, but I will say that I wish we got more of Nejire in this season. I feel like we got so much Mirio, which is great. We got so much Tamaki, but I feel like we were kind of robbed of Nejire, or like, obviously this is kind of like concerning the manga and how they showcase her, but I want more Nejire for sure, because we did not get her backstory or like any more scenes. She was just kind of like there and kind of like beauty pageant, which was still fun to see, but even the beauty pageant really wasn't showcased a whole lot. But shout out to Nejire for winning this year, because she's definitely someone I'm keeping my eyes on because I love her.
Yeah, her performance was beautiful. And I love how when she was, I mean, she did look like a fairy, but I love how when she was using her quirk, she was like, everyone's staring at me. Like, and it's like, we do need more attention on her because we never get to see her. So I totally agree. But I loved seeing her. So she looked beautiful.
It was cute because she's having that. I think she's one of those, it's the nice thing where someone who's, they're beautiful inside and out, and she's not overly cocky about being attractive. And so when everybody's watching her, she has that, they are. Oh, and like, she just kind of lifts up even more and does her great, beautiful dance in the air with the rose with light. I was like, that's so creative and beautiful.
Yeah. I think, I guess like the takeaway from the beauty pageant and like her particular part in this is just kind of like, it's not all, well, one, she's very modest and she's very humble, but also it's like kind of like goes to show it's not all about like the flashy antics. She was very subtle with her performance and it was beautiful with her dance in the air. Whereas the winner from last year came in guns a-blazing with her support thing. It was ridiculous. So it's kind of just goes to show that, you know, less is more, or in that, you know, there's beauty in kind of like finding kind of like the smaller things with your quirk, and kind of like, she didn't do a whole lot, but people were mesmerized by her performance and it was beautiful. So I enjoyed it.
Yeah, no, I'm glad you brought that up, because they had a moment saying she lost a lot before because she tried to be top the other one instead of just embracing what her abilities were. And it's like, no, just do your thing and that's the win. Because they all have different quirks. So it's not really, you can't, you know, compete. Just do yours and that's how you'll shine. Mm-hmm. So
candy apple, guys.
Oh. Yeah.
Why do we think? Thank you. That was exactly my next note. So we learned that Deku made it for her.
I was like, I haven't heard of a handmade candy apple in so long, since like my days in Virginia, like when I was like a little kid. Usually you just kind of see the ones that are like in the store, or they sell them at Disneyland or King's Dominion or something. But now I want a homemade candy apple, and I'm because it looks soft. I was like, you know what candy apples are? They're really messy. They're not my thing, but that looked really good. And all cartoon anime food looks good.
I used to make the caramel with Granny Smith apple. With the caramel, you dip it, hardens. My favorite.
You know what? I might do that on this quarantine.
It's so easy. It's
candy
so
apple party over here.
Well, it's cute because Deku has that forethought of like, okay, wait, they're either not going to have them or going to sell out. And when you make something for somebody, regardless of how complicated the dish is or the item is, there's somehow like this added specialness to it when you make it for somebody. It was just like, aw. And Aerie's just so excited, like, oh my goodness, it's even more sweet. And like, oh, we didn't know our hearts could melt even more.
Yeah, I think this episode was just so special overall, just from watching it to even the characters. I know they're characters, but like even the characters experiencing it, it was just such a special episode.
I'm glad they showed this, because I was curious. I thought Deku was buying some kind of gift for her, but it makes sense now if he was getting those kind of supplies. We talked about it a little bit more, but the end has that post-credit scene with Gentle and La Brava being interrogated, and a moment I liked for Gentle that was great, and I want to know what you all thought of it, is the gentleman interrogating Gentle says essentially that people who don't believe it, you know, essentially second chances have either given up or they're not patient enough. And I thought that was really interesting. That's not exactly what it says, but I'm paraphrasing. And I think for Gentle, not like he didn't think he could have a second chance, but I think he got impatient, and that's maybe why he went in a different direction. What do you all think?
Sure. No, I think that makes sense. I think like he obviously wanted to be a hero so badly, and it wasn't happening for him, that he had to go a different route in order to make his dreams a reality. But I honestly, actually, I'll say this for predictions. I'll stop there.
Ollie.
Well, I don't know if it's more of a prediction, but I think that I don't know if this exists in this world, but I feel like there needs to be, it would be interesting to see kind of make, I don't think they touched upon this ever. This is my idea. Maybe like in this world, they can have like a program for certain villains to kind of like, I don't know, they can work on some villains who are locked up and to kind of like, not persuade them to be heroes, but kind of some kind of program that while they're locked up to kind of like work, just like they do with regular inmates, like kind of like work on themselves, show them their error in their ways, help use your quirks to that'll benefit. To help for the greater good. I don't know, something, some kind of program they could use. And I feel like Gentle could really benefit from that.
I hope learn he's not an evil villain. He's just one of those, just he's straight off the path that I think he recognizes his behavior's not great. And he's the kind of criminal that could, you know, maybe he would still have to do some sort of essentially community service or training or whatever.
Yeah.
I do hope that this isn't a world where they discard someone. And I don't think they do, because that the guy interrogating or, you know, talking with him is just like, you can turn around. Like, this isn't over. Jamie, what'd you think of their interrogation scenes at the end?
I mean, well, first I'm going to go back to your first question on if I feel like it was him being like, if it's impatience or I do think that it's partly impatience with Gentle, because, you know, he wasn't patient with his dream. And I think, you know, as you get older and like everyone can relate, you feel like you need to have something done at a certain time. And, you know, then he has someone who is younger that he can kind of manipulate. Not really. I mean, it's her own will, which is LaBrava, but she is younger. I just feel like he kind of, again, went the wrong direction. I think it was just due to impatience. So the whole interrogation, I mean, I think it's not the last time that we'll see Gentle Criminal. And I do hope that he'll turn a new leaf. So that's kind of what I'm thinking. And I hope that's not a prediction, but that's what I'm thinking.
All right. Any other thoughts on the episode before we get into predictions and our special work?
This was just such a great episode.
It was. I need that song. I just need the song.
We'll find like, it.
I am a hero too. Certified banger.
Yeah. There's not really any news right now. There was the next Fate's Day Night movie that was going to be in theaters in early April, but that's been postponed. Kind of obvious. But there are other titles coming out, you know, digitally. So be on the lookout and follow us on ABTV Anime on Twitter, because we'll post links to that as well, because it's great. We can get titles digitally now or coming onto streaming services. All right, so let's get into predictions.
And now, Veronica, your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
I love it. Woo!
Yes. Veronica, it sounded like you had one.
Yeah, I have two. So based on the end credits scene, I think that the police are going to realize that LaBrava and Gentle have potential to kind of work for the greater good. We kind of see that when they're asking her about her hacking and why she doesn't use it for good. So I think they're going to work with them to kind of train them to be heroes, which I think they're eventually going to reach their end goal. And because next week we're learning about the rankings of the heroes, I think we're going to get a lot more with Endeavor and Todoroki. And obviously everything Endeavor did in Todoroki's childhood is completely wrong. But I think if he's going to be the number one hero, he's going to realize he has a lot more responsibility, and maybe that'll change his ways and how he deals with his relationship with the sun.
Ooh, I like it. Did anybody else have?
I don't have many predictions per se, but yeah, I mean, Veronica, I get what you're saying. I'll just say I'll piggyback off of that. And again, I don't see that it's the end for Gentle Criminal or LaBrava. I could actually see them being like a cute kind of quirky dynamic duo for our heroes, where they just kind of, because they have all the intel, they're just smart in that way. I don't know. I don't think it's the end for them.
Yeah, I feel like we won't see them for a while, because I feel like they're gonna, like, I don't know, those characters need some like reconstruction going on right now, because but I think like this is a perfect kind of setup going into like season 5, like how they're gonna leave it off of like, okay, we're gonna kind of like see where everyone stands with the ranking system for pro hero. So it makes sense. It'll be interesting to expand a little bit more on Endeavor. I hope we see my girl Mount Lady, because they're getting all the pro heroes. But yeah, I think there's only 2 more episodes left, but I'm excited. I'm always excited to see what's to come in the future of my hero. And I want to see this bunny character, okay? I don't know this character's name, but I've been hearing some things, no spoilers, but I want to see this bunny character ASAP.
Agreed. She looks super cool. Also, we get to see Hawks, because Hawks was in the movie. And so it's nice to see this character more officially. I think it'll be interesting to kind of wrap up the season with kind of the hero ranking. It probably won't have too big of a conflict, I think, in these next 2 episodes, but it'll be maybe more social conflicts in terms of if Endeavor becomes number one. Like, I agree, Veronica, that it's gonna make him have to think more about what that means instead of just you're the best, but there's more than that. So I'm curious to see where that goes. So then real quick, we'll do our special word. I don't know where everybody's watching from, but right now it's raining. So our word for the day is rain, which is ame.
Ame.
Yeah. So if you're on Romaji, it's A-M-E. Ame. Because it's raining.
Ame.
If you're in Southern California. also, awesome. So if let's go around, sign off where people can find you. And if there's any other shows you're watching that you want to share. Veronica.
Hey everyone, you can find me, Veronica Valencia, on Twitter and Instagram at it's me, Veronica _V. I also recently just watched Ouch on Can't Study. It's a weird one, but it was a good time. It was a good time.
Nice. Ollie.
Hey guys, I'm Ollie Drennan. Follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Ollie Dreamer. Send me recommendations for anime because I'm currently not watching anything other than My Hero, but maybe I'll rewatch Digimon because Jamie got me excited. I was like, oh, I want to watch Digimon now.
All right, guys, and I'm Jamie Gray. You can find me on Twitter at It's Jamie Gray or on Instagram at Jamie Gray, JAIMIGRAY. Also, I heard there's another good show that's on Hulu. I think it's called Fire Force, something
that, yeah.
I haven't watched it yet, but I've heard it's good. It doesn't look like I'd like it, but I'm being judgmental, so I'm going to try to watch it. Yeah.
You can see Trunks a little bit.
Yes, I saw him earlier.
Trunks is great, but T-H-A, and he keeps wanting to bite my fingers.
Yeah. And mine is Carrie Lane. I mean, online at Carrie D. Lane. That's K-A-R-I-D-L-A-N-E. Again, go follow us on ABTV Anime on Twitter because we have other press releases and announcements. I'm on like episode 6 or so of Fire Force. I would say stick with it because they get more into the lore as the episodes go on, which makes it, I think, a more engaging show. I just watched all of Beasters. Oh my goodness, that one's really good. Also stick with that one because the beginning seems like it's only going to be petty high school stuff, but it goes not that way. So it's a really good one. And you can watch that one in English or Japanese. And yeah. Oh, and I'm also watching Dr. Stone, which I know I'm behind on that one, but that one's really cool. So thank you so much for watching, everybody. Thank you for joining us in the live chat. It really means a lot to have you all here. Also check out, we have a Sword Art Online after show as well. And we will see you all next week to cover the next episode of My Hero Academia. See ya.
Sayonara. Bye. Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.